And then if you're doing a ski trip, I'm not sure about that.
Rowan looks like he's walked out of the next catalogue for men that fail at everything.
I'm just here for the après.
You're not there for the après. You're there for sucking Russian gangsters. What you're there for.
Yeah, criticise my boyfriend.
You definitely look like the women that walk around Courchevel shopping in the afternoon.
I am here for the après. This is what I plan to wear.
All fur coat and no knickers in these.
I'll have you know, I've got a pair of big pants on today. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Big boy pants. Oh. John, the Apple product they announced halfway through 2023. That's what he looks like he's wearing. Vision Pro or something? I can't remember.
Vision Pro, yeah. Look, I think
we look like we're ready for the ski trip, Ryan. You just look like you're begging for dollars on the street.
Yeah,
he needs a cop on side in front of him. I mean, to be honest, if anyone's really cute, they can see that Ryan's done his homework already in my glasses, because there's the app news right there.
Meant to be the Flinder post piece.
John's glasses are giving everything away. We can can see everything in them.
To be fair, I am wearing sunglasses, so I can't see a thing.
I can't hear anything.
Are they polarized as well, Indy?
She's
just looking at a blank screen.
It's frozen. Is it? Oh, that was a good freeze frame for me.
Oh, you could have got a good shot of that muff.
I want to look as if I'm gaining insight from this trip. Hang on a second. That's really
no
good.
Russian gangster's girlfriend has ever gained.
I'm going to have to do the intro because I'm starting to sweat here.
That's a really great point, John, on AI.
Can I do the intro now?
You may.
Hello and welcome to the Digitools and the Cruel World podcast, coming to you post Linda Takes the Piece. And my name is Ryan Pearcy, and I'm joined by John Toon. John, how are you after coming off the snow?
I'm very good, thanks, Ryan. I don't think I've ever come off the snow before, but anyway. Yeah,
Coke, isn't it?
There's a lot of rehab involved. Jeez. Yeah, I enjoyed the week away. There's 30-odd of us out there across 3 chalets, learned loads of stuff, spent some fascinating times with some great people in our space. And yeah, what more can you ask for? We had decent snow, we had some sunshine and good food and plenty of beer and booze to keep us going as well.
And it's great to see you back in one piece, John, because I know what you're like when you go skiing, mate. You seem to break something, even if it's just women's hearts.
Talking of that.
We've also got the amazing Indy Tatler. Indy, how are you after an amazing ski trip?
Oh, I'm just still so fresh off the school trip. So insightful. I had some moments where I really had to stop and think about what was being spoken about and just pose for a little picture. John, what was it you were saying about AI, mate?
I think I was saying that I feel like I've slipped into some sort of parallel universe and AI-generated podcast broadcast, because you look like some sort of Russian gangster's girlfriend at Courchevel wandering around.
Why discriminate against my boyfriend? You've never even met him before. How can you say that?
I know, but Vladimir will be fine. Don't worry, Indy.
I'm not the one who came fresh from a snow party.
No, that was probably Ryan, to be fair, looking at him. Do you know what? The AI chat was really good. We're talking about what we think the future of AI in the accounting space is and what the impact possibly may be. And I think the general consensus was it's going to be quite fundamental, but we're not quite sure of the timing. So it could be anywhere from a few years to maybe a decade away in terms of its major impact.
Who was using it practically that you thought I would walk away and use that piece of insight and put it into practice tomorrow? Was there anyone that delivered something to you on that level, and what was it?
Where most people have been using it is around the marketing stuff, in terms of whether it's generating posts or blogs or whatever and trying to create content. And I think, as we all know from what we've talked about on the pod over the last few months and stuff, is that we're still starting to see how AI may or may not, or particularly large language models rather, may or may not have an impact on what we do and how they're slowly creeping into product. That's the reason for not having a killer feature at the moment, because we're still exploring what those potential killer features should be. And that's really one of the reasons why no one has anything that they can, you know, shout about. One of the things that we did talk about was that the bigger firms, particularly, who are investing lots of money in this space, you know, are going to keep that under wraps, because it's their own IP. And that's going to be one of the things that we're going to see with AI usage, is it's going to form a fundamental part of the intellectual property of firms over the next few years.
That's interesting. So people will hopefully join us for our fab talk, which will be on AI, and we're going to try and cover the level one intermediary uses of AI in the workplace and business and accountancy practices. But we want to go right the way up to the God level of things that we're seeing and understanding could also be used at a practical level. And if you want to join our chat at Fab, then make sure that you get in touch with one of us, because it's first come, first serve. And so we might want to earmark your spot.
Should we go to our man who's been living in an igloo for the last week?
He's not living in an igloo. He's barely living in a box by the look of it. Love you.
Me? I'm not a homeless man. I know I dress like a homeless man.
You know, the brief for the podcast was you needed to dress how you dress for the ski trip. I feel we got the memo. Ryan, are you part making the cut, mate?
I'm off to Iceland in tomorrow. And this is how I'll
die. You're getting a turkey? You're getting a turkey? Or
yeah.
Chicken dippers? What are you getting?
Oh, I love chicken dippers. Be nice. But no, I'm off to see some volcanoes. It's my goal. Because it's going to snow the entire time, so I'm not going to see any northern lights. That's basically what it's looking like for me.
I mean, if you want to see northern lights, you can just come up here and I'll show you the street lights.
And on that note, we should probably go into app news.
Okay, so I'm going to be kicking off app news today with some news from a product called ReceiptBot that has been launched just in the last few days, in fact. And it's come about from a company called Accelsius, who are an outsourcing business, and they built ReceiptBot to try and help accumulate all of the various bits of information and data that you get from your customers and your clients and try and extract that information so that it can be processed most effectively. This feels a little bit like a sort of an auto-entry Dex hub.doc product, and I don't think they particularly distinguish themselves as any different from those products, looking at the press release and stuff. But an interesting thing to launch in the world. I know that we've seen a few things come through the early adopters hub. They have failed really to gain much traction in the market. And of course, we've had a few notable products like this that have come into the UK market and then subsequently withdrawn after not getting any traction. Yeah, we'll have to see how ReceiptBot get on over the next few months and if they can stick it out in the market.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Not to be confused with ReceiptBank. I've got something from Exemplo, which is a people management system, basically an advanced HR tool used to integrate into KeePay, which has now become Employment Hero Payroll. Exemplo has now built into Xero Payroll, and they're built in quite deeply from what I can tell. They're basically built into all of the onboarding of employee records. So you engage a new employee through Exemplo and all that data flows directly into Xero Payroll. You do all timesheets for Exemplo, and that will also flow directly into Xero Payroll. In essence, your staff work directly in the Exemplo system, and all of their pay information goes directly into Xero Payroll for the compliance side to push then into Xero for your financial element. So they've been, I think, talking about doing this for a while, and it's finally been announced in the last week.
And I have one update from HMRC. Our lovely friends have mandated the payrolling of benefits from April 2026. So it will be a change to the way that benefits in kind will be reported and taxed. There's going to be some implications in terms of how that impacts the P11D forms and the types of software that you use to be able to capture the payment of income tax and Class 1A national insurance contributions. Nix on BIX. The mandating of payroll benefits in kind aims to reduce the administrative burden for HMRC, which is estimated to remove a need for roughly 4 million P11DBs that are submitted each year. But the new system will not come into place until April 2026. So the main things that you can do to prepare for the challenges is to stay informed in terms of the latest developments where it comes to the mandatory payrolling of benefits in kind. Look at your current system in terms of readiness and how well it is set up for the upcoming changes. Engage with clients so that you can reach out to them and explain the implications of mandatory payrolling of benefits in kind, and review things like the employee benefits policies, update any payroll systems, train and educate staff, and monitor the HMRC guidance ongoing. From there, this is a huge change. And how are you guys fixed for
that, and how do you think it's going to impact you in terms of like workloads, or whether it's better or worse, or what are you expecting?
It's a big change for payroll bureau software, because a lot of payroll software could do some sort or some form of benefits and payroll and benefits, but I don't think they covered all of them. So there's definitely going to be some developments needed from those platforms over the next 2 years. I'm not even sure if HMRC's basic tools enable this. Businesses will probably have to pay for a system to enable them to comply. And it's definitely going to change how accountants work, because the tax teams used to do the benefits of kind calculation generally after April, before July. And that's now going to probably switch to payroll teams, or a combination of the two. So there's going to have to be a restructuring of how fees are created and the staggering of work, because quite a good thing for tax teams is in that possibly quieter period, April time, they could do benefit kind calculations before tax returns really kick in. Now that's going to be spread out throughout the year.
Yeah, the only smooth transition you can see for this is that obviously we can already payroll some benefits, and some businesses and some tax advisors and accountants will be doing this for their clients already. And it'd be worth seeing if there's a roadmap for this in terms of what benefits they have planned, maybe to transition in the next couple of years before the P11Ds are removed fully, because that, number one, that would help, as Ryan said, the payroll providers, because that's going to require some change, but also makes it a bit easier for us to plan in terms of what kind of clients are going to be impacted most with the changes, and can we maybe, if needs be, move them onto this new model of having all of the benefits payroll before the full change. Anyway, just to switch this up, we've got some other news from Free Agent and Go Cardless. They have fine-tuned and improved the way that their integration between the two products works. And just as a quick reminder, at the moment, if you use repeating invoices in Free Agent, have that connected to Go Cardless, you can collect those direct debit payments. But they've now added some extra flexibility into this process. So you can now choose between three options when you have a recurring invoice in Free Agent. You can choose to collect the direct debit on the invoice date, you can choose to do it on the payment due date, or you can choose to manually trigger the collection process. So not sure why you'd take the third option, to be perfectly honest, but most people would want to have the collection done on the due date in terms of like customer relationships. But it does give you some added flexibility. And of course, for businesses that are using Free Agent and or Go Cardless, you just having that extra flexibility is really helpful. And as we know from research that's been done by Xero and others, having payment solutions connected to your invoices accelerates the likelihood of getting paid on time, and also improves the time to pay so that it's more favorable for you as a business. So it's a win this, and yeah, great things to see from those guys.
NAC has raised €3 million to revolutionize healthcare compliance across the UK and Europe. A couple of years back, actually, Ryan and I were at an event. Which event was it, Ryan, that we met?
Nadia. It was an ICAW event in London. I don't actually remember what the topic was, but yeah, there was a presentation about what NAC were doing. And yeah, it looked really interesting tech. What I find interesting is that they've moved away from the accountancy sector towards healthcare.
That's right. So she's Nadia Kadim, who is a GDPR lawyer. She has focused more on healthcare and medical compliance. So more to do with being able to streamline the frameworks for healthcare providers who otherwise get caught in quite a complex regulatory process where there's lots of manual work and huge sums of money that are spent on external consultants. She's now focusing on those 400,000 companies that are in the highly regulated healthcare sector. And it is a little bit of a shift from what she saw before. It sounded like she had picked up some clients over the period that she was operating in with accountants, perhaps not quite as quickly, but also good to see that she's raised some money off the back of this. Clearly, she's got a stronger product market fit, perhaps with some of the areas that require a bit more compliance obligations and frameworks around it.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a premium product what they delivered with NAC. And I think the issue with accountants is generally most of the data that we're dealing with isn't the highly sensitive kind, unless you're more on the payroll elements. And yeah, I think it made sense to go into the healthcare side, and the 3 million seed round is pretty impressive, I think. Anyway, I've got something related to Score. If you've ever listened to this podcast before over the years or tuned into the Digital Digest, you would have heard us talk about Score, that S-K-O-R-E, which is the advanced process mapping tool. Netcall has acquired them, and Netcall being a system that is all about streamlining the process change to transformation. It makes complete sense that they would acquire an advanced process mapping tool that is Scores. Big news for the Score team. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the Score product develops now it's been acquired by a bigger player in the market.
Yeah, congrats to Chris Green and the team there. This is very impressive news. What do we know about Netcall, Ryan?
They're not big in this space. Like from a quick bit of searching that I looked into, they do a lot regarding automation. Obviously, they talk about AI because everyone talks about AI now, but they talk a lot about RPA. I think it's streamlining business processes a lot in the financial sector, a lot around banks. But yeah, I think the purpose of the acquisition is because Score is used quite heavily in big business, such as banks, to map out processes and refine those over time. So if they're doing those digital transformation products, it makes sense to now have a tool that will enable them to deliver them more effectively.
Yeah, fascinating. I'm moving from big banks to the Federation of Small Businesses, and they've just announced a partnership with Capitalize to power the FSB funding platform. So if you're a member of this Federation of Small Businesses, you can now utilize the Capitalize platform to do things like funding searches and to see what might be available to you as a small business. For any accountant that's already partnering up with Capitalize, or for anyone that's familiar with the product, they'll have seen this before. So it's nothing brand new. It's just a direct partnership with the FSB. So the only question maybe is if you're a smaller accountant already partnering up with Capitalize, so is it the FSB or do you get the revenue shares if one of your clients does a search, for example? Maybe there'll be some interesting conversations to be had. Great news for Capitalize because obviously it spreads the base out a little bit more and gives them access to about another million or so small businesses that are members of the FSB. And that's an area of the space that tends to struggle to raise capital effectively because there's no real banking services.
Yeah, big move from Capitalize there. It really depends on how well the funding platform is pushed and how well it's been developed, but yeah, Capitalize powering that. They've got a huge in. I've got something from Coconut, who have built an integration into Go Simple Tax. Now, you may have heard us talk about Coconut probably a few pods back now when they were acquired by Go Simple Tax on the back of the delay to making tax digital. Again, Coconut, who was pretty much built a product for that market, struggled understandably. And so the acquisition from Go Simple Tax was no surprise to us, but they have now built that integration in. And for those that haven't come across Go Simple Tax before, it's a self-assessment tax return system that enables businesses to file them more effectively. And the integration from Coconut in is what they're deemed a phase one at this stage, which is a much simpler integration. They've basically got some data flying through, but they're focusing already on the next phase of the integration over the start of 2024. So they're more deeply integrating the two systems. Maybe over time they'll become one simple brand, probably under the Go Simple branding.
And then one tiny little one that we should talk about and say a little bit of congrats to, Mazuma have been selected by the Innovation Investment Capital Fund to get some investment, a few bars chucked their way from a fund that was worth around 50 million in terms of what it was lending out. And what Mazuma, as well as the Maz app, is the one that's been selected to receive some of the funds. But it doesn't disclose how much, but it still super impressive.
Yeah, so just off the back of that, indeed, I know none of the press releases seem to indicate how much the fund raised for, but I did hear a rumour that it was around about 2 million. And if you check out Companies House, there are some filings in the last few days for Mazuma. It looks like they've issued some preference shares for 2.25 million. So well done, Lucy and team. That's pretty spectacular work.
Cracking. Really cracking.
What's brilliant on this is that her and her team had invested a lot into this platform, built it out, and she's now reaped the rewards, you could say, from developing something themselves. Whereas if you are partnering with someone and helping them to some extent with them developing their product, you don't reap those rewards. And as we've seen many times, they could go off, change it, and it'd be very different to what you need. The beauty about Maz app is exactly what Mazuma needs.
And we'll be speaking to Lucy Cohen a little bit later on in the episode.
You genuinely look like the women that wander around Courchevel, by the way, Andy.
But you're just basically writing them off as what? What's wrong with them?
There's not. Courchevel's well known for being the place where most Russian millionaires turn up. And given that most Russian millionaires, all Russian millionaires are gangsters, right? They're all
paid for women.
Paid for by the hour.
So you think that the problem was I look like a Russian prostitute?
I don't think there's a problem. I just said that's what you look like.
You didn't. You just said I look like a woman who's with a Russian.
But he didn't say it was a problem. He didn't.
I definitely didn't say it was a problem. It is the oldest profession in the world. As long as you put it on your tax return, I'm not bothered.
I really don't understand why you are making out that the only people who can dress like that are prostitutes.
Because that's the whole point. The point of the saying, all fur coat and no knickers, right?
I've never heard that saying in my life.
You
I've literally never heard someone
ladies,
say
ladies, come on, let's do some app news, ladies. Calm down.
Exactly. I don't understand how you can't have heard of that saying before. That's
you can't even dignify it with a Google.
I
think we should Google it.
I am not going.
I'm not kicking off about the fact you called me a homeless man. Let's move on.
Oh, come on. It's not like you've got any not like you've got any power in this relationship.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Come on. We'll get you a coffee.
Cheers.
Yeah.
If you're going to flip a coin into my empty cup.
Yeah. We'll get you a half-eaten steak bake.
Yeah, one that felt a bit horrible. Anyway, sorry, Indy, you kicked off it.
Absolutely, Ryan. I will jump across to our interview with Lucy, who we speak to about her recent raise.
I see you've been taking a leaf out of Paul's book with the book behind your head there, Lucy. Look at that. And the awards.
Books, awards. Wow. Some flowers I got sent. It's all going on. Look how popular I am.
It's amazing.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, it's really amazing. And it's been like 2 years since we spoke.
So obviously the big news that came out a couple of weeks ago now is that we've received investment, which is fantastic for us. That gives us, it's very hard to build a technology at the rate of cash. It's really hard to grow at the rate of cash. So this gives us the opportunity to double down on the development of Mads app, extend the feature in that. The whole point of it is it speeds up what we do internally from onboarding through to GL, makes accounts' lives easier, means they spend their time doing client contact work, not data work. And we're basically looking at it to employ the robot overlords where we can so that humans can do the human stuff. That's literally the whole point of it. So yeah, having the investment means that we can accelerate that. So we've got an ambitious roadmap. We've got loads of things we want to do. And this is going to be an enabler to let us do that.
And last time we spoke, that was before this big AI explosion as well.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know how that impacted your roadmap and whether you've decided to own more of that process or, as many people are doing at the moment, employ different kinds of AI agents to help configure and support the application. What's your take on it?
So for us, the addition of AI is, I was very excited when it came out, when that whole kind of AI boom happened, because I could suddenly see, I was like, oh, brilliant. We get asked so many of the same questions over and over again. We have quick fixes. People want the quickest route to the right answer, right? That's all they want. Whether it's given to them by a human-y sounding AI or a very charming robot or an actual human, they don't care. As long as they get the answer they want quickly, that's it, and it's right. So if I can use AI to do that, I will do that. Again, letting the humans do the human stuff rather than people having to answer questions like, when do I file this? And what's my UTR number? And the stuff that you get bombarded with in service industry, but in professional services, but that actually could be handled by technology. So I very much see that as being able to add to what we do in terms of, I mean, look, I'm not going to go and write a GPT. I think that's probably a little bit beyond what we need to do. And also, there are lots of really clever people doing that. So let them do that. Where we've got real skills and expertise in doing the clever stuff we want to do that other people can't. So I'm a big fan of people knowing what you're good at and doing exclusively what you're good at. Mazuma is built on that. We do one thing really well, and we're going to continue that ethos, I think, into the build. But where there is the ability to use large language models or AI or machine learning or things like that to speed up what we can do, of course, I'm going to take the opportunity. Absolutely. You'd be a fool not to.
And is there one big thing that you want to focus on this year now you've got the investment?
Two big things for us, really. The first is, I'm always warts and all here. We've got some tidying up in-house to do. As with any growing business, there are growing pains. There are areas I think we can definitely improve on in terms of outbound service, 100%. That's an area I want to focus on. Internally, staff benefits. We have more resource now to be able to offer our staff a much more comfortable work package and more interesting opportunities. So that's something we're really focusing on. And then it's accelerating the speed at which we can get client bases using all the features within Maz App. So we target ourselves with what percentage can we get using open banking? What percentage can we get using the payments portal? And what percentage can we get using the OCR, the invoicing? The more people uses digital tools, the more people that use those, the easier our lives are. So I now have the resource to be able to give that as a job to somebody instead of it being a little bit of other people's jobs, which is a symptom of all growing companies, is you get keen people who take on side quests. I had any of my team listen to this, I had an outburst in a meeting recently where I was like, no more side quests. Everyone's just got to do what they do. But they do it because they're keen and because you've got a bit of expertise in something and you want to pick up that role and help. I can now identify an area where we go, look, we need someone to own this piece of work. It's just their piece of work. Any question that comes in about it goes straight to them. They have the ownership. They have the responsibility. So when it goes right, I know who to praise. And if it goes wrong, I know who to shout at. And we can do that. And that's what is going to enable us to do, really, just be a bit more focused.
So this was an innovation fund. And that was something that I thought was really intriguing because obviously most people in that tech space take VC investment or they go to the big angel with the deep pockets. I'm not really a fan of the VC front at all because I think it changes the dynamic of the business altogether. But why this route as opposed to any other route?
So there was a few reasons, really. The first was it's a regional fund. So that fund is specifically designed for the Cardiff Capital Region. So as a company, we're based in Bridgend in South Wales, which is about 20 miles outside of Cardiff. It's an area that could probably do with some economic development. A lot of the jobs we're going to create are likely to be in and around that area. Having a regional fund that understood the challenges of being in that area geographically and building an HQ there was really attractive to us. Also, the people who ran the fund got the business, like straight away they understood when we pitched it to them, straight away they're like, yes, I know what this is. I know how this is going to work and I can see the addressable market and the opportunity. So for people who don't come from either accountancy or technology, finding someone who understands that we're straddling two lanes of that is a little bit tricky. But straight away, when I was really nervous doing the pitch, did loads of prep, thought about every question they could possibly do, got on the call, they're like, we get it, we love it, it's great. I was like, oh, brilliant. And that's a big thing. I think they understood the business, they understood the opportunity, and we got on well with them as a team. And that's, I think, a big thing as well. There are going to be times when we don't hit targets or when things get challenging, and having people you can actually vibe with and who understand you and get your passion is really crucial. Otherwise, those difficult conversations are even more difficult.
And will they bring someone onto the board to help with that sort of strategic focus or accountability or anything like that?
So yeah, we'll have observers, not board. But what we will be able to do and what we are looking to do is to bring other expertise onto the board. So we already have a couple of NEDs. I probably need a couple more in things that I don't know about. So people who've got expertise that I don't have, and bring them on.
And quite often with some of these regional funds as well, they do have an appetite for further investment as well if it's successful. So that should tee you up for some good opportunity going forward.
Yeah. We'll see. We've got a 3-year plan at the moment. We know what we want to achieve in the next 3 years. And I think we have to just focus on that one thing at a time. But yeah, 3 years goes very quickly, doesn't it? It's been how long since we last spoke? Nearly two. And that's flown by.
When we first spoke, or when we spoke 2 years ago, the intention was really about building the technology for customers that you work with and have worked with and improving the practices, processes. Have you since then had more interest from other accounting practices to use the same technology, white label it, or have it as not even white label, just as Maz App? And how's that going?
Yeah, there's definitely interest there. I think because what we do is so specific in terms of working with one type of client, taking them on one journey and getting a very kind of uniform set of results out of it. That's very appealing for people who work with those scruffy clients that you can't get to use a piece of software. At the moment, we're not opening that up yet. I want to make sure that it's one thing you're using it, and we're going through that kind of phase of putting all the legacy base in, working out all the bugs, all that kind of development stuff you've got to do. It's one thing doing that. And I am someone who's like, done is better than perfect. But when it comes to this sort of thing, it's not quite there for other people yet. It's something we consider, maybe. we very much initially built it for us. It's for us to become more and more efficient. And we see we're already seeing amazing results with it. So our hope was to bring the processing time per client, per envelope, per month down from what it was 40-ish minutes down to kind of 12. And we're seeing that happening. So where we're using it, we're seeing that down coming down. So we see the kind of the time it takes to do that grunt work massively reducing. And that's the efficiency saving. And that's where the profit line is in that bit. But we just need to get it churning through the thousands and thousands of clients every month instead of it just being a percentage of them. But there's a stark difference now between the processing time. You get a month where you get a high percentage that have been processed all through it, and you see the minutes per envelope plummet that week. We do a weekly business report. We've had a week where you've seen a high adoption of MyZap, the minutes per client plummet consistently. So that's telling me, yeah, we're on the right path. It's doing what we want it to do. Now we just need to get it to do more of it.
That's an epic KPI for an accountancy firm to have, isn't it? Minutes per envelope. I like that.
Minutes per envelope. We're all about the envelopes. It's always been about the envelope. So minutes per envelope is one of our metrics.
Love it. And aside from the big ticket items that you've got planned in for the next sort of year or so, is there anything else that you aspire to want to do with Maza?
Because I have 50 ideas before lunchtime. So amazing. I'm probably not. Yeah, there's a million things you want to do. How many of those have any actual value? And probably...
How many will the team let you do?
Like none. Like, I'm like, let's do this. But like, all right, we're going to add it to the list. It's a little bit like, have you ever seen The Office USA, where the HR guy, Toby's just got a complaints file that he just puts Dwight's complaints in? I feel like my team were like that with me and my ideas. Like, all right, Lucy, okay, we'll just file it over here. And then it's never seen the light of day because I forgot about it in 2 weeks. But we do have loads of ideas with it. But again, it's really easy to creep away from the core part of what you want to do is, and I'm really clear on, this is what we want it to do and this is what we want to achieve. There are nice to haves and there are shiny bells and whistles we can put in things, but unless it's actually driving some kind of ROI, you know, either making us money or increasing efficiency, we're not going to do it because that's just thrills, and we don't need thrills. We need a really robust system that does what we tell it to do. So for now, it's just, you know, the business plan isn't sexy. It's not a sexy business plan. Build the technology to be more efficient and bring in more on the top line. That's it. That's all I want to do. That's all we're doing. More clients in the top, keep an eye on the churn and make the technology more efficient. It's not amazing. The sexiest business plan in the world, but that's what we're doing.
So does this now make you a technology business rather than an accountancy firm, or does it make you a hybrid? And what's it like being a woman in the, you know, technology space?
I spend a lot of my time in rooms of men, but then I grew up in accountancy when it was very male dominated. So I'm not unused to that. And I can hold my own. It's not like I've got a problem there. But yeah, so there's that. I think that, are we technology? Are we accountancy? Why can't we be both? Our end product happens to be compliance for small businesses, but the way we do it is technology driven. So we are able to do two things as a company. And I think that makes us quite interesting. It's a bit surreal. So on one hand, I'm like, whoa, yeah, smash it. On the other hand, I'm like, oh my God, like, I've got to do all this. And now I've got to do all this stuff I said I was going to do. I've actually got to do it. And so just like talking about it. So that's great. I like accountability.
I think you make a really good point there about why can't accountancy firms be a technology firm and vice versa. But do you have a concern about the sort of longer term future of the accountancy world? Obviously, we've gently touched on AI and its potential use cases. There is this kind of doomsday scenario that large language models in particular to take over the world and replace us all. Do you think that? Or what's your sort of thoughts in that space?
I think GPs should be more worried than accountants, to be honest. I think that's the first one to go, isn't it? Not because I don't think that they do an amazing job, but because when you look at the type of stuff that they triage all the time and the human eye versus a picture of a funny looking mole compared to billions of images of other funny looking moles, which one are you more likely to go with as initial triage? When AI and large language models first came out, everyone went to anything with a rule book. They're like, law, accountancy, all that stuff. That's it. Game over. None of you lot have got jobs anymore. And I think actually the first kind of year or so of this and what we've seen of it, and look, we're scratching the surface with this. Like what we're actually seeing out there, it's not really AI, is it? It's generative language. It's based on stuff that's already happened. We're not truly in a generative state yet. It's not truly AI, but I think at the moment anybody who doesn't see it as a gigantic tool to use in their business is daft. This is going to open up opportunities to let humans do more human stuff and add value. accountancy as a space has been wanging on about advisory for years. Here's your chance to do it. Here's your chance to actually do it, because you can get AI to do all the really boring stuff for you. That's what I'm excited about. Why spend time saving files in different places when you could train robotics to do that? So yeah, I don't think we're doomed just yet. But I think, like anything, when the internet happened, when email happened, there's always someone that is deemed to be doomed. Ooh, deemed to be doomed.
Title of your next book.
Yeah. But I think it's about your ability to adapt and change. And people always need advice on things that are not in their wheelhouse. And that's really what accountancy is. That's giving people advice and service around things that other people don't know about. And there is a whole world full of those industries. You go and get your hair cut because you could have a go at it yourself, but you trust another profession to do it. This is the same in every profession we have. I don't fear stuff coming down the line. I just think, how can we use this? How can we harness this power? And if someone else has done our legwork to make a thing to make my life easier, I'm very lazy. I'm taking it.
We've all got to retire at some point, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we've all got a shelf life.
I think your point about GPs is bang on. And actually, I did some research last year, which ended up me meeting some of the team at the University of Salford. And they did some work with 12 to 18-year-olds. They'd done this long-term study with 12 to 18-year-olds looking at how they felt interacting with chatbots. And this was pre-ChatGPT at the time, but how they felt interacting with chatbots regarding the provision of medical services. And overwhelmingly, they were like more trusting of a chatbot than actually going to their own GP. They're definitely doomed. We'll see where we go. Given that you're an esteemed author, how do you feel about the fact that obviously large language models in particular have been trained on, you know, data from multiple sources, and you know, potentially they might be trained on some of the contents of your book? Do you feel highly protective of your intellectual property and what you've written, or are you quite comfortable for models like this to be trained on these kind of things?
How many original ideas are there, really? Let's not pretend that anything I wrote was complete, like was all that groundbreaking. We write about the same things over and over again. How we go about doing it and the format we do it and putting our own spin on it, our own voice, that's what gets people bought into it, is your voice, your energy, your impact within it. If people take bits of my book and you use it, just quote it. Just give me a citation. That's all I need. Just a citation. That'll do. Let's go academic on this. Just give me a nice citation and I'll be happy enough. If I get cited in a bunch of papers, I feel like maybe that makes me more credible. It says Lucy et al. Or whatever it is, Cohen et al. That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love that.
Lucy Bott.
That'll do, yeah.
Amazing. Is there anything else, Lucy, that you want to say other than you can go all sort of loans of money from the 1980s and start buying Ferraris and stuff?
Can you imagine me going around a Ferrari? I'd look ridiculous. No, and do you know what the funny thing is? I'm not really into that. That's not visible. This raise is the company's money. So my economic circumstances has very much not changed yet. But that's not why I do this. So yes, I think every person who starts a business has got their kind of economic and financial things that they want to achieve for themselves. But I genuinely am very purpose-driven. Once I've got my needs met, I'm very much about kind of the achievement, the purpose, the mission, the vision. That sounds like massively cliched, but that's why I get out of bed in the morning. If it was only money, I didn't think it'd be really interesting. I think it's about making a change. One of the favourite messages I got on the day that we had the announcement for the raise, when that finally went public, because I had to sit on that for a week, it killed me. So when that finally went public, one of my friends, Steve, sent me a message and he said, I love seeing you change the world for Florence, who is his daughter. And I was like, that was like the best message I had that day. That's it. That's why I do all this stuff, because of that. That's why. And it's fun.
Amazing. Yeah, it's got to be fun, right? Like you say, the money's kind of irrelevant. If you don't get out of bed and enjoy yourself, what's the point of it?
There's only private jets you can buy.
That's true. It's particularly if you offshore them, right? I think that's the way to do it. I do have one more question. Do you think Mazapp will ever evolve to a full kind of fintech status to include things like embedded finance or access to other financial products at all? It's definitely not as sexy as AI, but do you think your clients, your customers have a need or a want for that kind of thing?
I think that's the critical point that you've just made, John, is that if our client base will use it, it's really easy to have this kind of shiny object syndrome. And again, I've got a million things I want to shove in there and they all file them in Toby's filing cabinet. But if our client base would use it, need it, and it would get uptake, yeah, we do it, of course. If they're not going to use it, there's no point in developing it. and for them, because it's just a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Right then, Ms. Cohen, you're awesome as always. Thank you very much for spending your Wednesday evening or Thursday evening, whatever day it is of the week with us. It's all
Thursday,
good.
Maybe?
Thursday, I think.
Let's say Thursday.
It's a day of the week, who knows?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure.
There you go. That was Lucy, who we hope you enjoyed the interview of, and we'll probably catch up with her again at some of the upcoming accounting events.
It's not nice to be the fangirl, but I don't mind for Lucy.
She's
Cohen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You love Lucy Cohen.
And definitely kicking it up a notch as well for all that accounting.
I think what I like most about her is she just keeps it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no fluff. There's no messing about. We're doing this. We want to be right down the line with it. Straightforward. Does it fix a problem? Does it solve a problem? Does it make things better? If not, don't do it.
I'm just going to head back out now.
Jesus Christ.
No. Out into the wild. Into the blizzard.
Just going to head off now. What is it that they drink, John? What were you drinking the whole time?
Vodka.
No,
just vodka.
No, F-Dog from Azetz. He just drinks rosé wine.
Who's
F-Dog?
Dog? I thought you said Caroline was the only one that had an
dog. Nick.
Who is F-Dog?
F-Dog. Fraser Campbell from Azetz.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows him as F-Dog. F-Dog. Jesus.
So it depends. You could drink Monaco's. They're amazing. Or beer pash. Or, Aperol Spritz.
Oh, God. No, none of that. Cheap stuff, isn't it?
Maybe you're or just beer. Or moose shots. Beer. They're always good.
Moose shots.
I really don't think I'm built for whiskey trip already. I might just go home.
Well, I mean, you are vegan. So Phil was on the trip and he's not drinking and he's vegan. So he's doubly should have been drowned at birth.
I already like the sound of him already. Do you think he'll go for a Russian?
I'm not sure at birth they could have predicted he would have been vegan.
You'd take the chance.
I just don't want to take the chance.
Is this we're talking about?
Phil Hopton.
Phil.
Oh, Phil. Lovely Phil. Lovely
Phil. Drown a birth guy.
Oh, that's lovely.
Slip through the net.
And he's follically challenged as well.
I know, yeah.
There's another one.
He's also the right sort of age. Gosh, is he married? I'm joking.
He's married to Caroline. The
Hobdens.
The Hobden clan. They're not actually married. I'm quite happy to precipitate that rumour for longer.
We're just giving some banter.
Is that what this is?
Yeah, I feel like we were.
Come on, Ryan, get on the banter bus. Get on the banter. You should get on the banter sledge. Come on. Go and put your hat on so we can take the piss out of you again.
No.
Or your scarf.
No. It's down there on the floor now. It's resting till tomorrow.
I feel like maybe you didn't bring your ski game properly to this podcast.
I don't ski.
I think like you failed miserably.
Like Joey doesn't share food, I don't ski.
You know what? I don't either. Yeah, but you just gotta look like you're ready to go to a.
If you said let's do a golf themed one, Indian Arrow would have been all out on that.
We would have. You know what? In fact, Ryan,
you'd go out the back and get a golf glove on, would you, Indy? You just keep them lying
around.
I'd
be wearing one glove. I'd look like Michael Jackson.
I reckon I can. If you challenged me to it and said, "Okay, we need to look like we're in a golf course or something," I could do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In the bunker. Oh, in the bunker. You could be in the bunker.
That was the best you had. A comma hat from comma, who no longer exists.
Comma hat from comma. Yes, that's the best I have. I do have a woody hat somewhere else, but I'm not sure where it is. I just dig that out.
You could film it. You could film it from the bath and you just pretend you're in the water.
Yeah, but even that, you could have just gone to your shed, like I said.
I can't take the equipment to the shed.
On a sledge. You could have rocked a sledge. You could have carried a sledge, Brian.
You could have carried a sledge.
With all that DIY you were doing, you could have mocked up a wooden sledge over the weekend and not done that panelling stuff.
Because I'm that good. I can mock up a wooden sledge. Oh, I see that.
You don't have to look good. That's the last 30 seconds.
It's a stick. It's just a stick. It's just my sledge.
Do you think you should have just changed the background? Could you not have done that?
It's a stick. We weren't going for Harry Potter vibes. Bloody hell. Come on.
What I put up? I've got nothing. I've got nothing in the house. I've got nothing around.
Lee, I tried, but he says, this is what I have to work with.
Okay. Fail.
Gave John a breathe, knees like that. Let me get my ski. Let me just keep my hoodie on and in full view. I don't even own anything that could be quite capable of skiing, but I will look the part.
Yeah, we didn't even have to try, did we?
No, not really.
Look, I could have even looked. Like, if only that was white, I could throw it at you and pretend it was a snowball.
You could have, but it's not, and you didn't. Oh,
I reckon in post-production, Lee can make that white.
I reckon that mine. That's, I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with D today. That's a D for you.
D minus.
D minus.
D for what?
T minus.
Devilishly handsome.
Dreadful.
Oh, okay.
Disappointing.
Oh.
Disappointing, Ryan.
Oh, that's the worst one, isn't it? Disappointing.
Dreary.
Do better, Ryan. Do better.
And that brings us to the end of another Digitals in a Cruel World podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed this one. We were a little bit colder this time, purely coming back off the end of Flinder Takes the Piste. But if you have liked this, please do leave a review, rate us. All of those help spread the word and get us into more people's ears. And if you've not checked it out before, please check out our website, The Digital Disruptors, and connect with us on LinkedIn. You'll see we're doing a lot more than just this podcast nowadays.